And then we looked at how we can relate to that expectation and that we are waiting for the Lord to return. And then ultimately we talked about how people are waiting to find hope, in this world, and that we need to be the ones to share that hope, to share that grace that God has gratefully given, thank you, to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. This morning I want to continue on that theme of waiting as we are looking forward to the Christmas season. And I want to start with our scripture reading this morning, which is Matthew 24, 45 through 51. So if you would please stand when you find that. Matthew 24, 45 through 51. Verse 45 says, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, 'My master is delaying his coming,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him, at an hour that he is not aware of, and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. The reality is, as Israel waited for their king, for the Messiah, some of them waited faithfully. Some of them did not. Jesus talks over and over again throughout the Gospels about wicked servants. One of those is found in Matthew 25, 1 through 13, a parable. It says, "Then the kingdom of God will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five of them were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. And as the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom! Come out to meet him!' And then all of those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. And after, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour.'" We see that God is telling us, as servants of him, we must be waiting faithfully. Now we see the mistakes that they were made here in these two examples. One, the master had given the man a job to do, and he was fit to faithfully prepare the food for the other servants in the household. Here we have an example of the bride, the bridesmaids waiting for the wedding party, waiting for the groom, and they did not have enough oil. They did not prepare. They did not plan ahead. They were there waiting expectantly, but they were not wise. In the first example, we have a distracted servant. Jesus calls him evil because he was supposed to be about his master's business. And instead, he got lazy. He got distracted. He started thinking about all the things he would rather be doing than serving his master. The next one, Jesus says they were foolish because they did not think ahead. They did not plan for what they needed for the task at hand. In Matthew 18, we don't have time to go there, we see another example of Jesus talking about wicked servants and talks about how they are unforgiving. In 2 Peter chapter 3, it talks about the church at the end times. They will be scoffers. Scoffers will come. And they'll say, hey, he's not coming back. Everything is always as it been. There ain't going to be no return of Christ. And they will scoff at God's word. These are servants of God. People who confess to believe in God. We must be faithful servants. But we do find in the Christmas story several people, but two of which we're going to look at today. Simeon and Anna. Faithful servants of God waiting for the Messiah. Luke chapter 2 verses 25 through 34 tell us about Simeon. It says, "And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God. And said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." You know, it's interesting how our actions reveal the thoughts of our hearts. You know, we can come to church and we can really put on a facade. We can really fake a lot of people. Man, that guy must really believe in God. He is here every Sunday. We can put on a facade, but our actions, they tell us really what is in our heart. This man, a priest, said that Jesus would reveal the thoughts of many hearts, and he still does that today. He still reveals our hearts when we talk about, are we going to serve him? Or are we going to trust in our own selves? I've been talking with a lot of pastors lately about different, about theology and kind of some of the theology that's going on in our denomination right now. But one of the things that we've been talking about frequently is the importance of what you believe, because what you believe determines how you act. And how you act is a great evidence of what you believe, right? James says faith without works is dead, and we kind of talked about that last week. If we have no actions to back up our faith, then how can we say we really believe? Are we not just deceiving our own selves? Simeon was a faithful and devout man waiting for the Messiah, and God blessed his faithfulness, and he got to see the Lord Christ. At that same time, verse 36, now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And came in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Israel. Again, a faithful servant. Somebody whose life had been marred with tragedy. She had been married at a young age. And 7 years later, her husband dies. And yet she faithfully serves God as a widow 84 years of her life. And God again blesses her faithfulness. And she gets to see the Lord Christ. And what does she do in return? She faithfully proclaims the redemption that will come through Christ to all who are looking for redemption. These two are faithful followers, faithful servants. So how do we today become a faithful servant? How do we wait faithfully for the Lord to return? Because He is coming back. And we talked about that last week. So what must we be doing while we are waiting for Him to return? We must pay attention. Luke 21, 34 through 36 says, "But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life. And that day come on you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all of those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man." You see, the next thing to come in the history of the world is the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church is where God takes the believers out of this world because He is going to judge this world. 2 Peter chapter 3 says, "This world is reserved for fire, judgment by fire." God said after the flood that He would never again destroy the world by water. But no, He is reserving it to be judged by fire. And Jesus says in Luke, pay attention to yourself so that you can be counted worthy to escape all the things that will come to pass. How do we take heed to ourselves? We make sure that the attitude of our heart is constantly looking forward to His second coming. That I'm not getting so bogged down in the cares of this world, pleasure, greed, too much focus on my job, whatever. You know what it is you struggle with. You've got to make sure that you don't get so bogged down with the cares of this world that you are of no good for the King whom you are serving. And like The king has given us each one a task. The Bible says that each one of us has a spiritual gift. Each one of us has a task to edify this body and to make it grow in love. And if we're so worried about our families, our jobs, our retirement, our whatever, we can miss out on the whole purpose of why we're here. And we can be like that one who what God had called him to serve the meals of those who are around, who are serving God. And instead, what do? We walk away and we get distracted. And Jesus called him an evil servant. Let us not be an evil servant. Let us be a faithful, devoted servant. So we must pay attention to our conduct. We must pay attention to our priorities. But most of all, we must pay attention to our mind, our mindset. Are we constantly thinking about right this minute, Christ could come back? Right this minute, Christ could come back. There's an illustration, a pastor, he gets up every morning and he says, today could be the day. And every night before he goes to bed, he says, Lord, tonight might be the night. It's a constant reminder to him to live as if Christ, what do you want to be found doing? What do you want to be found doing when he comes and returns for you? It's a mindset. A missionary of the American Sunday School Union tells a story about a Sunday school that he had organized in the Midwest, in a portion of his territory, in the fall of the year. One Sunday morning the following winter, he decided to go visit that Sunday school. So he made his way through deep snow and came to the schoolhouse to see how the work was coming along. Smoke was coming out of the chimney and the bell being rung as he drew near. Entering the house, he found only one person, a boy of 14 years old. Was that the last bell for Sunday school? The missionary asked, and he was told yes. How has the Sunday school been getting along? He inquired. Oh, it was doing first rate until the bad weather came, the boy replied. But since then, it has not been doing so well. They chatted pleasantly by the warm fire that the boy had built and waited, but no one else came. How many were here last Sunday? The missionary asked. Just me, the boy replied. Well, that is not very encouraging. No, was the reply. But I thought if I came and built the fire and rung the bell, somebody else might come. How many were here 2 weeks ago? Just me, was the reply. On further questioning, the missionary learned that the boy intended to repeat the process until he was told to quit. He said he did not want to see the Sunday school go down. The incident does not record the further history of the Sunday school of the one boy, but the expression, just me, means a little more to us since meditating on the faithfulness of the lad. Not all can be great, but all can be faithful. That is what we are called to be, faithful servants. What has God given you to do? Do it faithfully. Do it to the best of your ability. Do it without results. It doesn't matter who shows up. It matters that you show up. First of all, we need to pay attention to ourselves. Second of all, we need to make fruit. Matthew 25 says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey." This is this right after the story of the bridesmaids. "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. And then he went away. And he who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he had the 2 talents. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. And now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents, and here I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. And so I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. And here, have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gathered where I have scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talents from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" It's kind of an uncomfortable story. What does it mean? I think it's pretty obvious what it means. God expects us to wait faithfully for Him, to invest our time that He has given us, our money that He has given us, into His work. It's not just the pastor who's supposed to work in the church. It is every single one who holds the name follower of Christ or Christian is to be about the work of His kingdom. So we must faithfully pay attention to our mindset, to ourselves. We must get rid of the sin in our life so that we can be useful for God's service. We must then go out and bear fruit. And what is the kind of fruit that God expects us to bear? Well, there's 2 kinds of fruit. There's internal and there's external. The internal fruit is listed in Galatians chapter 5, for example. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, self-control. The external fruit, Jesus commissions the disciples. He said, "Go and make disciples of all people." Those are the kinds of fruit that we're supposed to bear. The third thing we must do, we must make fruit. We must pay attention to ourselves. And third, we must be diligent. We must be diligent. 2 Peter chapter 3 really sums this up very well. It says, "This is now the second letter that I am writing to you, beloved. In both of them I am stirring up your sincere mind by way of reminder that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and the commandments of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Knowing this first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. And they will say, 'Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation.' For they deliberately overlooked this fact, that the heavens existed long ago and that the earth was formed out of water and through water by the word of God. And that by means of these, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished, the flood. But by the same word, the heavens and earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly." That day is coming. He says, "But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God isn't delaying his time because he's busy building all of these mansions up in heaven and he's tired and, man, I wish so many people wouldn't come to know Christ so I didn't have to build all these houses for people. That's not the problem. He's not waiting because he's busy playing Xbox or some other computer game. He's waiting because he wants more people to come to know him as Redeemer and Savior and Lord. "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done in it will be exposed. And since all of these things are thus to be dissolved, everything around us is going to be gone, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of the Lord, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn? But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. And count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all of his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do the other scriptures. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen." What an amazing challenge for us. Because we live in a time, as we talked about in Sunday school, the foundations of our faith are being broken up. They're being trampled over. And as Christians, like Peter says, we must take care that we are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose our own stability, lose our own faith. Some people will come along and say, that Bible is not really inspired by God. It's got errors in it. It's got holes in it. It's got mistakes in it. Some people will come along and say, you know, those miracles, there's no way they could have happened. We don't see miracles like that today, so there's no way those happened. They've closed their minds to the truth of God's Word. And we must take care of our own hearts. And not just our own hearts, but the hearts of our children and grandchildren, that they don't lose the stability of their faith in the one who delivers us from evil. We must be found without spot or blemish and at peace, because our faith is trusting in Him. We must be diligent. And you might say, up until now, I have been distracted. I have been living my life for myself. I have been, let's just say, not without spot or blemish. Did you know that today is a new day and God's mercies are new every morning? Don't take advantage of that. Don't say, well, hey, that's great. When I'm dying on my deathbed, I will renew that mercy. No. Everything in this world is passing away. Everything is getting old, right? I mean, you buy something today and tomorrow you throw it out in the trash because it just lasts so short. But what you do for the Lord will last forever. If you're a passenger on the Great Northern Train, I was hoping my brother would be here this morning to hear this illustration, but maybe he'll listen to it on the website. If you are a passenger on the Great Northern Train that passes through Fort Benton, Montana, and you see a shepherd dog pacing up and down the station platform, it may be just another dog to you, according to the Ed Shields of Great Falls, veteran Great Northern conductor. But to trainmen, it means a lot more. That dog has met every train for approximately 3 years, Shields said, recounting the story. The dog is looking for his master, a man who came to Montana looking for relief from a dreaded disease. The man took a job herding sheep. The most important thing a shepherd needs is a good dog, and a sheepman gave him the dog, and at that time a puppy. And he also loaned him an older dog to teach the young fellow to watch the sheep during the day and round them up when it came time to return to the camp. The young dog soon learned to handle sheep without the aid of the older dog. But as time went on, disease took the life of the herder. The good people of the community saw that the body was sent back to his old home in an eastern state. And the dog followed the body of his master to the Great Northern Station of Fort Benton and saw it loaded on the train. This incident was soon forgotten by all except the faithful dog, who has remained at the station meeting every train day and night in hopes that the next one will be the return of his master. He has refused to make up with anyone and is seldom seen except at the train time. After the train had departed, he crawls back onto the station to patiently await the next one. The section foreman, taking pity on the dog, tried to coax him to come into the section house to stay, but the dog refused to leave the spot where he last saw his master. And the good-natured foreman, for nearly 3 years, has been bringing food to the station and leaving it for the dog. Last spring, when the weather warmed and the wind melted the heavy snow, a portion of the tracks was swept away and the trains had to be detoured over another line for a period of 10 days. On one of these evenings, the foreman asked the agent what had become of Old Shep, as the dog had become known. "I do not know," the agent said. "I have not seen him for several days. I suppose he has left. The first train to reach Fort Benton after the tracks had been repaired came in at night. The station agent preparing to meet the train stepped out on the platform and to his surprise found Old Shep was there. He said the agent has tried to coax Old Shep into the station, but the dog refuses to do anything but crawl back into his den under the station. Perhaps Shep is dreaming of the days he spent with his master and the sheep and listening for the whistle of the next train that may return his master to him. If a dumb brute with no hope of heaven and no fear of hell will be so loyal to its master, how ought not we, the crown of God's creation, the recreated ones, looking for the glorious return of our blessed Lord? We are to wait faithfully. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we must confess to you. At times we become distracted. At times we allow the cares of this world to overwhelm us, to draw out fear in us. Lord, and it exposes how weak our faith is. But Lord, I pray that we today would recommit ourselves to expressing our faith not only with our words, but with our actions, and that we would wait faithfully for you and for your return, which is coming soon. Lord, that we would pay attention to ourselves, to our conduct, to our study, to our prayer life, that we may grow in our faith, that we may grow in our obedience to you. Lord, that we would also grow in our fruit, both internally and externally, that we would share with you, others, the good news of great joy, which is to all people. And Lord, that we would be diligent in the work that you have given us to do. Lord, that you would recognize where you want us to go and be faithfully obedient. Lord, help us, because we need your help, because the task at hand is great. But with you, we can do all things. But you don't force it upon us, Lord. You wait for us to come alongside you. And so we thank you for your patience as you wait for us to recommit our lives, or maybe for some to even commit our lives to you. Lord, I pray that we would do that starting today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.